Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I am here with Renee and Matt from F45 Waters Creek and F45 Willow Bend in Texas. What's going on, guys? How are we today?
Great. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All righty. So let's jump right into the details here. How did we get started? What made the two of you want to open your own facility?
Well,
you know, for me personally, I fell in love with F45. I started as a member. I was going, you know, for me, for years, I could speak for Renee as well. You know, I had probably three or four different gym memberships, had personal trainers. I would forget which gym memberships I had. I would go to the gym and get nothing accomplished. I loved the motivation factor at F45 and just fell in love with the concept. So roped in Renee on this voyage, and it's been exciting ever since.
Yeah. He had gone to F45. I had not. I was a member of, like he said, a number of other gyms. And we were trying to, at that time, look into getting another franchise. It was kind of all sold out in this area. And then really nobody knew what F45 was. And so he happened to start working out there and really, really loved it. So it was kind of like a godsend that the other ones were sold out. So he came to me and I worked out there and decided, hey, let's do this. I mean, even though F45 was really, really new in the area at the time. So we kind of had that to deal with. But anyway, it's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So now, what does the business model look like within F45? Some of the listeners may not be familiar. So are we doing group classes, one-on-ones, semi-privates? What does the business model look like?
Matt, you want to do it?
Sure. So F45 is a 45-minute group training environment. So it's high-intensity interval training. So every day is different. So you could theoretically come 7 days a week if you wanted to, if you weren't too sore, which we have a lot of members that do. We have a lot of members that show up twice a day. Yeah. People are nuts about it. In every class, there's one or two trainers. Like I said, every day is different. So you're going to have a trainer that's looking at your form while also motivating you throughout the entire process. So it's a tough 45 minutes, but people are hooked on it. People love it. And so do we. So that's the best way I can describe it.
And we don't have a lot of treadmills and that kind of thing. We have different equipment, but we use different things every single class, every single day. And so if all day long, one day is all the same classes. And so we have probably 9 classes a day. And then the next day is more strength. And the next day it's cardio. So it kind of changes from day to day. But even though the name of the class is the same, a certain class might say MVP, well, then the next time you take MVP, it's going to be the same setup, but a totally different workout. So like Matt said, the nice thing about that is that your body is always super surprised because it doesn't know what to expect. And so your body tends to react a lot better and you have a lot faster progress.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The structure remains the same, but the class itself is always different. So that also keeps it very interesting for your members and keeps them motivated and coming back. So that's fantastic. Now, as far as the membership base goes, I'm sorry, Matt, did you want to add something else?
I was just going to say, I forgot to answer the main part of your question is that we have a membership rate. So we have class packs, we have drop-in rates, we have, all different membership types and limited number of classes per week, unlimited classes per week. So I would definitely compare it more to personal training and that the experience is going to be very personal. Every time you're here, you're going to have, direct access and contact with the trainer. If you need modifications or they're going to ask if anybody's injured, let's get you set up here. So they're always going to be working the room to make sure, are you okay with this or if the form is off. So I compare it to, I had a personal trainer for 10 years, paid astronomical amounts of money for it. It seemed like I got into a rut as far as my training because we were doing the same thing over and over again. I could tell he had his 20 exercises that he really liked. It seemed like we did the same 20 exercises twice a week to the tune of, $80 a visit twice a week, 4 times a month, 4 weeks a month. It got very monotonous and the cost, quite frankly, was just out of control. I've done that for with 10 different trainers over 10 different years. And so is Renee. And it's been one of those things that I just fell in love with this. I went to a really boutique-y gym here in the Dallas area. This is probably 10 years ago. And they kind of sucked me in. I hate to say sucked me in, but gave me a really good deal in my first 6 sessions, which I really enjoyed. I did notice that it was fairly monotonous. We were doing a lot of the same exercises as I alluded to earlier. But then after I exited the 6 classes, the guy said, well, let's keep going. Do you want to? And of course I said, sure, let's do it. How much do you charge? And he said, my hourly rate is $320 per hour. And he wanted to see me 2 to 3 times per week. And it took everything in my power to say, I can't do this. This is not affordable. So our cost structure is a fraction of that cost, but you're still getting, in my opinion, of course, we're biased here, a far better workout than you can get with maybe a trainer. And you don't know the background. A lot of these trainers, you know this as well, Bree. So it's they're getting the programming from us, from F45 Corporate. So they'll understand the workout, the flow of the workout, but you have that personal touch and correction from a personal trainer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's like personal training within a group setting, essentially. So, which is nice too, because you have the group to feed off of. There tends to be so much more energy within a group class rather than a one-on-one session. So people motivate each other. They inspire each other to push a little harder, go a little longer, you know, whatever it might be. So that can be really big as far as getting people results. And that's what they come to you for in the first place. So it's a good setup.
And I think the really unique thing about F45 versus any other gym concept I've ever been a part of, having done this for a long time, is that at the end of every class and even throughout the class, you're giving people fist bumps and high fives, and it's really an encouragement. And I, you know, from being an owner, you know, Renee could say the same thing. It's really cool to see people that have now friends and their family that's in the gym. So we really consider this, and we really modeled our company on how can we get these people locked in a familial type relationship, have their buddies that they're working out with, make new buddies. And it's crazy to see the people's social media and everything else. They've now created these friendship groups, and it's like one big happy family. And, you know, even when there's 36 people in a class, by the end of the class, the trainer is going to know most people's names. I would say 95% of the names, and so are the members. So, hey, see you tomorrow. And that's kind of our motto, is see you tomorrow. And people come every single day and they love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's huge as far as building the community goes and making sure that people actually look forward to coming in and working out, because that makes it a lot easier on everybody when they actually enjoy being there. So that's a big piece of that as well. Now, within your membership itself, how many members are you serving currently at your facility?
Well, it fluctuates. We are, our goal is probably like 300 to 350 at any point in time. So we're getting there. But you know, like you're limited basically because the capacity. And so, the capacity is 27 for a class, and it's not necessarily based on the size. It's based on the exercise and the setup. So, you know, you have to make sure that you don't get too many so that you can't accommodate your members.
Yes.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, from a business model perspective, you know, if you have fewer than 10 people in a class, I would say that's a failed class as far as, you know, making money potentially, which was a challenge post COVID because some people were concerned with the number of people in class and social distancing and everything else. We had to make amends for that. We had to get, you know, HEPA filtration systems. We had to do all this additional cleaning and everything else. While most people wanted just to get back to normal and just be done with it, others had masks on. So it was very, very challenging.
Absolutely. I can certainly relate to that. The challenge post COVID, things tend to be a little bit better across the board now, as far as restrictions go, but definitely challenging, especially in the beginning, being at like 25% capacity or less and trying to, you know, your overhead doesn't change. In a lot of cases, it actually increased because of the time being closed and kind of trying to spread out the rent. And in a lot of cases, in my case, for example, that was something that we did, was not pay rent for that time, but then spread it out across the months to come once things got a little bit more normal. So rent actually went up. So yeah, it was definitely a challenging time there. But now within your marketing currently, so getting new people in the door, getting people back in the door, growing on this other side of COVID, mm-hmm. even though it's not completely gone, but we're getting there. What does the marketing piece look like for you? Are you doing paid advertising through Facebook, Instagram, Google? Are we doing mostly word of mouth, referral based? What does that look like?
Well, you know, it's funny because I spent at least $6,000 a month of marketing for the first couple of years. You know, nobody really knew what F45 was, so we kind of had to do that. And this has been a very big learning curve. Not to say that I would change anything necessarily, but, you know, the only place you market, if you do any kind of marketing, that ends up being marketing in Facebook or Instagram. And so, you know, we had a system and I followed up and our head trainer followed up on every single lead that we ever got from there to find that every single person probably signed up to about 25 gyms during that day and had no clue that you were going to be, you know, they didn't remember signing up. And so you use all your skills and all your sales tactics to, you know, call them and you say this, you say that. And really they had no clue or intention even signing up. So, but we had, you know, some members that came as a result of that, but we're very, very, very lucky right now. And that we probably haven't spent any money in marketing in the last 6 months, maybe, or 8 months, because our members just do it themselves. They love it. They tell everybody. So we have a lot of referrals from our members. And, you know, we paid more for our facilities and our locations because we knew that we had to have drive-by. And so we have good visibility. So we have a lot of drive-bys. And, you know, we have different promotions here and there, but it's basically word of mouth right now. We're, knock on wood, so super lucky that we've earned this at this point. So we don't have to spend extra money on marketing necessarily. So
I would piggyback on that, because when we were heavily invested in social media marketing, I would say 10%, Renee, you can, you know, agree or disagree, but I would say 10% of those leads were even real or felt real. Like it even responded. I mean, so you're reaching out and spending all this manpower to try to get somebody to come in and try out this awesome experience. And 90% of them never responded to it. And we tried every iteration of it, from text messages to emails to phone calls to everything, and you're capturing 10%. So we've had to pivot and kind of go to a grassroots. So we do a lot of corporate deals, or try to, and get in groups of people, and, you know, 10, 15, 20 people from one company, and get them, their employer on board with it, just knowing that they're going to get nutritional counseling and body scanning and everything included, and heart rate monitoring and everything else. So we've had to kind of get creative. Not to say that we wouldn't go back to traditional marketing methods via social media, but I think we're going to need to see results faster. Otherwise, I just feel like we're throwing a lot of money, which, you know, to your point, Renee, $6,000 a month is substantial when you're getting 20 new members a month. Like, that, if you break down the lead per conversion or the cost per conversion, it's just outlandish. And it's not sustainable for a small business, especially when, to your point, Renee, like having a locations like we do, one of which was supposed to open the week before COVID shutdown happened. You have to be really smart with those dollars, because we weren't as lucky as a lot of people to have rent deferral throughout that 4 to 5 month period. So it was really tough. So we had to pivot and do online stuff. And because, you know, our revenue went from X dollars a month to zero overnight. So it was a really gut punch, but we had to get creative. And so we're always tweaking it. We're always trying new things. We always hear people out if they've got a newer and better, you know, widget. But we've just had, I think, more success in getting our members to market on our behalf.
Yeah.
Knowing that the work product is so good. So that's kind of what we're doing currently.
If we do our thing correctly and make it a great experience, they do their thing just without even being asked. So we've been super lucky.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can relate to some of those things. I mean, we were spending $10,000 a month on advertising. However, I was getting about 900 leads per month and about 60 to 70 new members from that per month. So there's a way to make it work. It's just figuring out what that way is and making sure that the targeting is on point and making sure that you're talking to the right people and you've got the algorithm figured out. And, you know, it takes a lot. There's a lot to it. And if you're not getting 3-to-1 return on your ad spend, at least, then it's like, it's not really worth it, you know? But sometimes it just takes a little bit of figuring it out along the way, but it's like, you don't want to just throw money out there and cross your fingers and hope for the best, right? It's like, we want to make sure that the money we're spending, we're actually getting a return on. Otherwise, it's not worth it. So
well, I think also too, the earlier people got into the game of marketing for, you know, social media marketing, the better the results were. But now, you know, if you look at Facebook or Instagram, it's just completely flooded with the same kind of advertising. So, you know, anyway, good for you.
I think
for us too, a struggle with, and we kissed a lot of frogs in this area. We worked with 3 or 4 different marketing companies, and maybe we just were unlucky with the ones we picked, but the metrics that they provided monthly did not align with the results that they said were happening. As much as we said, like, these people aren't there, they said they would always come back to, well, you're not doing something right, which again, we've tried to turn over every possible stone. So it was frustrating. And honestly, a lot of their ads were very generic, and it was, I don't think it was functional. It wasn't anything specific to our area, and they would blame it on, you know, Facebook restrictions or whatever the case may have been. But every ad I ever saw, it seemed like it was the same, and it just wasn't very motivational. And it was just kind of it seemed a little gimmicky, but.
But we do now get tons of Instagram and Facebook leads because we market ourselves. So.
Yeah, right. And I completely get that, because I've been there as well. Like, there are so many companies out there that promise you X amount of leads, and it's like, cool, I can have 1 million leads, but if they have no interest in working out or the services that we are providing, then it doesn't matter, you know? But then it's like, that's exactly what I did. I did it all myself. I was making the ads. I was writing the copy. I was doing everything myself. So it was coming from me. And then when people came in, they would see me. They would literally come in the door looking for me. So it was like very personalized, and it wasn't just the generic stuff. And I think a lot of times people think that they've got to have this like big, shiny, professional looking ad. And a lot of the companies do that, which doesn't work very well because people aren't looking for that. They're looking for something that they can relate to. So they want to see somebody in class that looks like them, that maybe isn't necessarily in the best shape. That kind of scares people away sometimes. If there are ads with people who are all ripped up and super in shape, people are like, I'm not there. Like, I can't go there. I got to get in shape before I go there.
Right.
And it's like, hey, no, that's not the idea. Or you'll see a lot of ads too that come from some companies. Sometimes they'll have like a generic ad that they just run for all of their clients, and it's not even of your gym. So then people come in and they're expecting one thing, and then they come into your facility and they're like, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed up for. And then they get the wrong impression. And I think that kind of clouds people within the advertising space too. People don't like those kind of things. They don't like the gimmicky things. They don't like the things that don't look authentic. You know, the best converting ads for me were the quick little videos that I grabbed in class at night, you know, when we had a great class, and there was good energy and there were just people having fun, you know, and it was organic. And that's what brought the most people in, because it was something that they could relate to and something that they wanted to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, our neighbor is actually a national cookie franchise, and it's an interesting time, like when you think people will be really concerned with their overall health and immunity and everything else and staying healthy. And it doesn't appear that the new America, like post-COVID, is too concerned with that, which is interesting, because I'll give you an example. I worked out at lunch today. There was 30 of my buddies here. We had a great time. The entire time we're there, there's ice still all over their sidewalk, and there are people lined up for cookies, like a post-lunch cookie. A cookie is 700 calories. It's a snack. You know, whether it's 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. or 1 a.m., people are wanting their cookies. It's a challenging time, because you see kind of what's happening to people's mindsets. And I think that people are like, if it's convenient and it's fast, you can bring it to me. And I can't tell you, like, they'll sit in their cars, the ones that don't want to wait in line, which that's probably 10% of the people, they'll bring them their cookie and they'll eat their cookie in their car and then drive back. It's just like, it's crazy. Cause then we'll go out there and kind of, hey, y'all come work out. And people are like, oh, you're crazy. So
we're all excited. That we're going to be a whole new, you know, oh, they're just going to they're going to be lined up and they're going to see our facility and they're going to want to join, but we have a completely different demographic we found.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If they're wanting absolutely. Cookies, they're not wanting to work out. So
yeah, probably not. Right. That's too bad.
Yeah.
You know, too bad you're not next to like a juice shop or like a smoothie shop or like something a little more on the healthy side, you know?
Exactly.
Man. All right. So now as far as goals go for the new year. So we're already into February, which is crazy. But what are the main focuses within the business for the new year? Is there anything specific that you're looking to accomplish, or what are you really focusing on for 2022?
You know, obviously meeting our revenue and membership goals. You know, we're trying just to, as time goes on, I do a lot of the behind the scenes things. And so I want to improve our own member engagement, you know, making sure that we keep the members that we have. We're kind of limited a little bit in the fact that we live in a very large melting pot where people move. And there's so many gyms on every street corner that if they happen to move 3 miles away into another apartment or whatever, then they, you know, that I don't care how much they love you, they're not going to drive. So we're kind of, you know, see some people come in and some people leave actually, but, Matt, did you want to say something?
Nope.
Oh, anyway. So, you know, we want to be able to obviously make our members want to stay and provide them the best experience. And then, you know, we want them, our members to, one of our goals is to get them to even try to work out more during the week. But basically just to make things run really smoothly, do all the little nuances that make them feel like we're doing something special. Then, you know, we've started doing spa towels at the end on cardio days. And so, you know, just little touches like that, that can, you know, really doesn't cost anything except for just labor, but just to make the experience while they're there a lot more pleasant. So, you know, and maybe even learn to know more of the people that they're working out with and that kind of thing, make them more of a community. We do have a great community feeling as it is, but I think that there's always ways to improve that too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of do things to separate yourselves from those other gyms that, you know, to make people want to stay with you rather than go to that other gym that's maybe just a couple miles up the road closer.
And I would like also to, you know, we have more classes a day than any other F45 around. We have 9 classes a day during the week. And so I would always like, you know, what I would like to do is have at least 2 more classes throughout the year that, you know, that make sense to add those time frames, you know, the time choice.
Right. Right. So, okay. And would that be just an addition of members to fill those class times?
Yeah. Be able to, you know, not create an expense that you don't get something in return.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I would say a lot of our competitors, you know, you'll notice their locations, they have very few classes, you know, 4 or 5 classes per day. And so we've just taken the complete opposite approach in that we want to be accommodating and hospitable. And if 9:15 only works for 20 people a day, then we certainly want to, you know, accommodate, you know, and allow them to come in. So we've taken a very aggressive approach, knowing that it's a step back for a step forward. I think if you were to ask us a year ago, we would say if we get more members in a month than we lose, we'd be happy. But I think now we've kind of mastered our craft as far as producing a premium work product and having a really good training staff. And so we want a lot more members than we had the previous month while making it comfortable for everybody that's there and also allowing them to find the perfect class times every single day. And so I would say we're one of the only locations in the entire area that has consistently added classes monthly.
The thing I also, I'm proud that, you know, we love having full classes, but it used to drive me crazy when I would have to, when I belonged to a certain other gym competitor, actually, and I would have to go in and book my class for the next month to even be able to get in. And I just, I finally thought this is not even worth it. So we have that many classes so that people can always, that they will never be like turned away from being able to go to class.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You want it to be easy for people to be able to come to class. It's already hard enough for them to get there as it is and motivate themselves to get there and work out. And if it's hard for them to actually book a class, then that doesn't work very well. Now, within the membership, are there any other services that you provide to the clients that you currently have? Do you do any type of like nutrition or accountability coaching or supplementation, anything that provides that extra level of service for your members and then also provides another stream of revenue for the business?
We actually do, our head trainer is a nutritionist. And so we do offer those services for an extra charge. But we also do have, I think that's one reason we're very successful with our, we have 45 day challenges and, you know, we charge for that. And people love doing this because she's very, very good at calculating. We, you know, have a body scan machine and they're able to do like a, you know, body scan before and after, and she figures out their macros for them, and we have weekly check-ins, and we've just seen amazing results with our challenges because we kind of have it down to a science, and she's really, really good at it. She's on maternity leave right now, but anyway, so, but we do have that capability and we're able to offer that pretty much just because we have so many of the challenges throughout the year.
Right.
We're starting to look into, you know, maybe adding supplements and, you know, other things like that. We have, you know, we have apparel that we offer as you know, people love that. And that's another revenue stream. But anyway, but we haven't really branched out as much. I would like to, you know, ask what are our business goals. That would be, you know, one way to one thing we can look at as far as adding, you know, other revenue streams for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I would like to increase our corporate membership too, like the different kinds of things that we offer to corporations and get, you know, their members to sign up for different things. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Anything else you want to add there, Matt?
I would just say that the challenges are a ton of work for all of us, you know, as far as communication, because, you know, a lot of our competitors or other locations, like they'll just do a challenge and the winner gets a medal or trophy or whatever, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. We do the same thing, but we try to make it to where we're giving away trips. We're giving away cash prizes. We're giving away big incentives. We're even giving, if you're part of the challenge, you're entered in to win trip a lot of the time. We don't do that on every challenge, but we try to make it to where you get a pretty big return because we're not charging a whole lot for it. But honestly, the people that win these challenges, Renee mentioned this earlier, their stories are incredible. And it was 90% nutrition. And it required them to come in vulnerable with their hands up saying, I don't know what to do. I've been working out 5 days a week, but what we don't know is when they go home, they eat the cookie store next door, 700 calorie cookies or whatever, drink two bottles of wine, whatever the case may be. So if you come in and you say, I want to make a change and here's my body scan results and how do I do that? We help you load up and, you know, an app that shows you your macros and everything else. I mean, the results, as much as we love to get, you know, a bunch of people signed up for a challenge, whenever the winners are announced and you see somebody lost 40 pounds in 45 days or whatever the case may be, a lot of weight, it really is incredible because in a lot of cases it has changed this person's life forever, and it's been really powerful. So,
and we find too that the people that have done the challenge, you know, 2 months ago sign up again for the challenge because they want to continue seeing that progress. So
yes,
That's really something that's been very successful for us.
Definitely. Yeah. And those are great posts for social media as well. Those people that come in, they do those challenges. They get really, really crazy results in a pretty short amount of time. They change their lives. And then it's like, that's your best form of advertising right there. Yeah. You know, whether they're telling everybody they know or you're posting them on social media, anytime that I would post transformation photos, it was like we would just get an influx of people because it's just mind-blowing. You know, you can really change somebody's life in a short amount of time if they have their nutrition and their workout on point. So very cool to see, very rewarding from this side of things as well. Mm-hmm. So that's fantastic. Now, let's see. One thing that I really love to ask every gym owner that I speak with is if you could provide a piece of advice to somebody who is considering opening their own facility, what would that be? We'll let each of you go because it may be something similar. It may not be because everybody has their own kind of take on it. But
I'll start.
All right.
I'll start.
You have enough time now.
First of all, to my point earlier about people, you know, maybe they're what's important to them now changing a lot. You really have to look at and drill down to what your overhead's going to be, because, and I'm not picking on F45 or anybody else for that matter, but when they provide a pro forma, here's how it's going to run. Here's your rent. Here's this, here's your marketing. It's different for every single facility, right? I mean, you may be, if you want prime real estate, you may be paying 3 times the rent. And you don't think about that when you're looking at locations and you sign up for a particular territory, only to realize that every space that would be available in your territory is going to be 3 times what was laid out for you on a pro forma. Again, not picking on F45, but we wanted a prime location with drive by and everything else. And so we pay a lot more for that. So my advice would be take your member cost that you're going to charge and really think about that. Maybe inflate every one of the numbers on your spreadsheet when you're analyzing your business model by 40 to 50% and say, how many members does this have to, do we have to have to even break even? Knowing that people are going to move, to Renee's point, or people are going to, whatever, they get injured, they have to pause their membership, whatever, things happen. But whenever you're in any franchise environment and you're looking at a budget, you just fall for like, we're just going to kill it. We're going to have 8,000 members and it's going to be amazing, but you don't think about capacity and everything else. So I would just say, drill down, talk to other owners of other studios and have a real conversation. Like, does this number make sense? Does this number make sense? And what was your experience like?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great piece of advice. And a lot of times people do kind of go in with that vision that like, okay, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to make so much money. It's going to, you know, it's like that. If you build it, they will come kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you get into it and you're like, whoa, we don't have enough members to pay our overhead. And you just get into a sticky situation quickly a lot of the times, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely, yeah, kind of really laying those things out prior to and setting a goal for how you're going to get there and having a plan in place. Most facilities are not profitable until year 5. So if you don't have enough working capital to mm-hmm. keep the doors open for 5 years, if you're profitable before then, fantastic, that's great. But most gyms are not. And even a lot of times, most of them don't even make it past year 3. So, you know, some things thing, to keep in
one
mind.
One thing too is, you know, and the ways any, I'm sure, franchise is set up, you know, you have to purchase the franchise up front and then the work starts. Well, then, you have a certain time frame in which you have to start paying your franchise fees, right? Mm-hmm. And so what people don't understand, what we learned, is that the by the time you get that, and then you have to get your lease signed, and then the finish out, all of that was very different in our in our business plan than what we expected. And so it's usually a year before you can actually get in. And it's just unreal, especially right now with the supply chain like it is and being able to get finish out done. So ours, what we learned was more like on the true reality of how long is it going to be before you actually get to open your doors and how much money are you having to pay before then that you don't even have any membership fees to pay with. And so, and then how long is it going to take you to finally get to the point of getting some kind of revenue in the very beginning? Because they're, oh, you don't even open until you have 200 members. Well, that's not true. And that would be impossible. Mm-hmm. So it's all about the timing up front, I think. Right. And then you never anticipate COVID happening, which is another 6 months.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I think too that you made this point, when you start dealing with contractors and everything else, you find the perfect location and they say, this is going to take us 4 months to do. I would just say it's going to take 8 months to do because of everything else. The supply chain issue is obviously a huge new development that's going to hurt a lot of people, but contractors don't move very fast because they're still building like crazy. And it's, you are at the mercy of a person that's going to say, oh, 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks, you'll be ready to go. And then not only that, but timing your opening for when you're actually going to be open. I mean, we were literally painting the day before we opened. You know, like we got our, you know, certificate of occupancy the same day that we had our first class, and it was just like our hair was on fire trying to figure everything out. But it nobody coaches on that, and it was just frustrating. And you can yell and scream and you pull your hair out with the contractors, and it's not going to do anything for you. And there, people are going to get impatient. I thought you were going to open last month, and we tried to, but it's just really hard.
You know, also the timing of, you know, I mean, this might be just with our franchise, but the timing of like when you have to buy your equipment, well, then you have to buy it up front. Well, then if it's 9 months before you get to actually open, where are you going to put that equipment? And then you have to pay to move it twice. And, you know, it's just, there's just a lot of moving parts that people, when they look at the whole idea, are not really realistic when it comes to being able to get all the everything all in order to make it work without costing you a lot of money.
So. Right. Yeah, exactly. You don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And once you get into it, sometimes you're in too deep to turn back. So
yeah,
it gets a little sticky.
But and if it's not a franchise, you probably can control that a little bit better. But
yeah, right.
You know, but there's other things that they don't have that we have also, which is
right.
You know,
yep. Good and bad with both. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So now as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
You mean?
So we're on Instagram at F45 Willow Bend, same with F45 Waters Creek with two T's, WATTERSCREEK. Just type it in / and throw that in there and you'll find us at F45 Training.
Perfect.
Waters Creek and Willow Bend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Awesome. So Renee and Matt from F45 Waters Creek and F45 Willow Bend in Texas. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great having you both on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. Okay. And to all of the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there. We'll catch you on the flip side. Jim Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast. We talk fitness business with gym owners who are in the trenches, doing work, changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest, owner of Hutto Fitness Center in Hutto, Texas, Chris Metter. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Let's hop right into it, man. Tell us what Hutto Fitness Center is all about.
Yeah, Hutto Fitness Center is it's a small gym right now, but we are a personal training gym only. As of this moment, we focus on, you know, one-on-one attention, you know, maybe one-on-two, one-on-three attention here. And we're really trying to reach out to people who are just trying to live healthier lives, man. And that's really what we focus on. We don't really focus much on like the bodybuilding aspect of things. We just want people to come in here who want to live healthier, move better. And you know, that's kind of what we're all about here.
Awesome, man. You said you're a small gym for now, but got a big heart and big plans to impact the community, right?
Big old heart.
Awesome, brother. So let's talk a little bit about your background. You have a bit of an athletic background, I guess we could say, to put it lightly, that led you into this. So give us a little background on you and leading up to making the decision to open Hutto Fitness Center.
Yeah. So growing up, man, I played baseball all my life. And, you know, when it was time to, you know, hang those cleats up, you know, I started taking fitness more seriously. And just because, you know, back then I was a little overweight and, you know, I was definitely out of shape. And so I started taking that more seriously. And then the idea of kind of opening this gym was to, you know, to help people, but I also wanted to help baseball players as well. And so, although we haven't gotten to that point yet in this gym, you know, those are some of the things that I focus on. I want to do specific or sports specific training here. And I also want to help people too, you know, who want to lose weight and live better lives. But, you know, growing up and when I was playing ball, you know, now that I look back at it now, you know, we didn't really spend a lot of time in the weight room or really focus on speed or agility or strength or anything like that. And so I kind of opened this gym to help those kind of baseball players and those athletes, you know, become better athletes, you know. And that's one of the reasons why I opened this gym. And so, again, you know, when it was time to hang up the cleats, I knew I wanted to help people. And I always ran into these dead end jobs and yada, yada, yada. And when the pandemic hits, I lost my job. And, you know, I was, you know, struggling and trying to figure out how to make money. And, you know, I got a job at this gym I used to work at. I asked him if he would, you know, let me train a couple people here and there. And he said yes. And then, you know, 3 months later, I got certified. And then 3 months after that, I got another certificate. And then I knew this is just really what I wanted to do. And I got my certificates from ISSA, and which is kind of sports specific related. And because I knew I wanted to train, you know, kids and athletes and stuff. So, you know, that's kind of a little bit by myself and how I opened this gym.
Oh, man. So it gets to the point where you're like, all right, I'm training people. This is something that I can really put my heart and soul into. I want to help regular people. I want to help baseball players, maybe some other athletes. So you start coming together, formulating a plan. You have somebody, you know, in the industry that you worked with, and you guys kind of came to the conclusion that you both needed some a space to do your thing. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of hedging on the risk. You all set out, you found a spot that you were able to split rent on just starting right off, right? Didn't start with a huge spot, didn't build the Taj Mahal right away. So you found a roughly 1800 square foot spot. You guys came to the conclusion you could split that and you can grow the business from there, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I don't think we introduced my partner, man, but his name is Rico Tarbert. He was my coach in jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. And when I met the guy, I was training at his other school down the street, and he came up to me. And he asked me if I wanted to train at his gym. He wanted me to train as fighters is what he wanted me to do. And so I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I'll, you know, train at my other gym. I'll come to your gym. I'll pay you rent or whatever, and I'll train your fighters and whatever. Right. And then a couple of days later, after he approached me with that, you know, I came back to him and I offered him a 50-50 split. It's like, hey, let's just, you know, let's build something. We'll grab an LLC together and then we'll make something, you know, out of this. I can train my clients. We'll bring them here. And then I'll train your fighters and we'll be all in one, you know, one roof. And so that's kind of how that happened. I was training, he offered me something, I came back to him with a 50-50 split, and then we've just been riding that car ever since, man.
Awesome. And so far, so good as far as the plans. You mitigated your risk by sharing rent on a small place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we're 7 months in, and you guys are both have businesses that are growing where you're both going to need a bigger space eventually. He's going to have a bigger space. You're going to have a bigger space. But as of right now, the size of the business is currently working for the clientele for what you're doing. Some tight spots here and there, but so far so good on that planning.
Yeah. And, you know, Hutto Fitness Center will be expanding in a few months. And, you know, I have this bigger picture in mind. I want this massive facility with, you know, some turf and like a football field outside and maybe a track or something. And, you know, I want to build something that everybody can come to, not just baseball players, not just football players, not just bodybuilders, but like everybody. CrossFit, lacrosse. I don't know if you want to be the best swimmer in the world, you know, I want to offer something like that, you know. And that's kind of that 10-year plan that I was talking about earlier. My 1-5-10-year plan. The 10-year plan is to just have this massive place where everybody can come to. And, you know, especially in Hutto, man, Hutto is just such a growing area right now. And so I think we, you know, in years to come that we'll have something great here.
So yeah. I love that, man. So many people, I think, even, you know, whether it's early on or if they've been in the game a while, are afraid to dream big. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I think that I could ultimately have 100 clients. It's like, you know, we talked off the air and, you know, a good deal of us, I can't say everybody, but a good deal of us get into this business to help people. And then like the longer you're in it, the more success you have, the more it's like, how can I help more people? What can I do? And sometimes we'll put this like artificial ceiling on ourselves. Like, oh, I think I could help, you know, 100 people or 200 people. And it's like, why not just wake up every day and like, how can I help more people? And if you find a limit, cool. Like, obviously don't be reckless, but if your goal every day is just, can I help more people today than I did yesterday? You'll figure it out. You'll hit that equilibrium at some point. But I love that you're just like, hey, if this type of person wants help, I'm going to try to figure it out. If baseball, football, lacrosse, you know, soccer, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, couch potatoes, whatever it is, like, we want to be able to help you if you want help.
Right. And that's definitely something I do. I know I can't help everybody, but I want to, you know, and there's nothing stopping me from trying to do so. So,
yeah, you're never going to go wrong trying to find as many people to help as possible. And I like that you have the awareness to know you're not going to be the perfect fit for everybody. Everybody's not going to be the perfect fit for you. But as you grow, you develop other relationships and businesses, you know, maybe you're making recommendations to other people. People are making recommendations to you. There's a million ways you can help. And it doesn't just mean training people in your facility.
Right. And I know some good people from the other gym that I used to work at. And like, if somebody came to me wanting to train bodybuilding, that's not really what I do. That's not really what I focus on. That's not my niche. But I do know people who do train people like that. And so at my other gym, I knew this guy, his name was Kevin. And, you know, he taught me a lot. And, you know, when I was starting this gym, I was talking to all of them and they're all giving me advice and stuff. And then Kevin was telling me about how he trains his bodybuilders. Like he trains them for competition and stuff like that. And so I really learned from that, but still it's not something that I've mastered. And so if somebody came up to me and wanted to do bodybuilding, I'd probably refer him to Kevin at the garage gym. So
nice plug for Kevin at the garage gym. Plug. If you're in the Hutto area and you're trying to get jacked, go for that. Cool, man. So, you know, you opened the doors. Did you have any clients from places you were working before that started off with you right away? And if so, what did that look like?
Yep. So I did have clients follow me from my other gym. From my other gym. And you know, I've been working with people for over a year, you know, and they're committed to it and they're committed to me and they're, I wouldn't say loyal, but like, I mean, I guess I would say loyal. They're loyal to me. And we've built this rapport, this friendship, this like family environment where they trust me. And so I've had those people for a while. And then I've had people who started with me here and they're still going 7 months later, you know? And the thing about personal training is that it's so up and down, but the way we do things here, we try to keep people committed. So we don't sell sessions here. You know, I've always hated that about commercial gyms that sell sessions. I do month to month or biweekly payments here. And so that kind of keeps them going. They have like an incentive to come, you know, it's like, hey, I'm paying for this. I'm coming. And so that's kind of how we structure things here too. So,
dude, that's super rare. And I feel like more gyms, more trainers are embracing it, But I'm going to say 95% of the people that I talk to, whether it's on the podcast, off the podcast, are still selling sessions. Like, you know, they have, and even places like a CrossFit or a boot camp or something like that, where they have a recurring billing model in place. Mm-hmm. They do that. And then some people want more attention. They want semi-private, they want private training. And then all of a sudden they're back to selling sessions. It's like the same thing that works in the groups works in this. And those, you know, you hit the reasons on the head, right? Having to ask, you know, somebody to resell them every 3, 5, 10 times. Hey, do you want to buy 10 more? Hey, like that's a conversation that once it's over, like we have a relationship. Let's just, this is what we're doing. And if they have sessions, it's easier for people to cancel and they're not as bought in, but it's like, hey man, you're going to pay me $150 a week. You know, this is our standing. This is our relationship. It's just like a recurring class membership might be. We just have set days and times that we do it. Mm-hmm. However that works out. And you said, if that comes out of their, you know, out of their bank account in the first of the month or every 2 weeks, it's like, all right, you know, we always say people who pay attention. It's like, they already paid for it. They're going to come use it. There's the utilization is so much higher in that recurring model. It makes it, you know, trainers, we all know that in order to help somebody, there has to be a transaction. There has to be a sales process, but generally that's not the part of the business we love. It's like, all right, I just want to sell it to you once and give you great results. And you just keep coming with as little friction as possible. And it sounds like you have that pretty nailed down.
Yeah. So, and you know, I love this model because it does keep people coming in and like you said, I'm not trying to resell. I don't want to resell. You know, if you want to stop, then you can stop at any time. I'll cancel your payments anytime. Right. But having to like resell you like 12 sessions, 10 sessions, whatever, it's not really effective. I mean, how much results are you going to get in 12 sessions? You know, I mean, you could probably get it, you know, you probably see some results, but this is not short term. You know, this is longevity. This is the rest of your life you got to start thinking about. And so when you sell people short on 12 sessions, you're giving them a time limit, giving them a time cap. And I don't believe in time caps. You know, I believe in the rest of your life, right? So we're trying to live a healthier life. We're trying to get you, you know, add some years to your life, right? And so that's why I do the reoccurring payments, is because, yeah, I would like for them to stay with me for as long as possible, but selling them short on 10 sessions is not effective. Like you won't see that much results in 10 sessions with me. So, and especially the way I train, and I even tell my friend, like, this is a process. You know, I can't just throw you under 200 pounds and, you know, hope you can burn a bunch of calories. You know, it's just, I start you all slow. I got to work your form. I got to see where you're at. And then that's a month process alone. And then we got to build strength. And so that's why I do recurring and I don't do sessions. It's too much. And then you got to resell them. And then you sound like a car salesman. And then it's just, well, I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, no, I'm with it 100% there, man. I agree with a lot of the points you made there. So came in, had some clients that followed you over, some loyal people. They're, you know, they're the, you know, the foundation of the business, but you've also added clients since you've been there. You've got a couple of other trainers, but I want to look at this from a couple of different aspects. First and foremost, like, what have you done to get word out, to advertise, to market the business, to get new blood coming in the door after those people, you know, the initial group?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the clients that we get are from social media, from Facebook especially. We have some flyers that we've gone locally and put into local businesses and stuff. And we haven't gotten that much traffic from the flyers, but to get on Facebook and put in like a Hutto page or something, or a mom's page or something, that's what gets us clients here. And I would say for other gym owners, if you're not doing it yet, if Facebook is like a big thing, it's going to be a big thing for you guys. Other than that, it's word of mouth, right? When your clients see results, they're going to tell their friends, you know, And then when they tell their friends, and then they get their friends coming in, and then you give them results, and they're going to tell their friends. And it's just a big blooming cycle, I guess. I don't know. But really, word of mouth and Facebook is how we advertise. And then there is this thing. It's called Bark. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
But it's like a lead generator thing. And so you pay credits, yada, yada. That one's kind of iffy because some of the like contact information on there is false. And so I kind of stopped using that. But I've had some of my clients from that Bark software. So I guess the big thing is social media and word of mouth is going to get you clients.
Yeah. On the social media side, is it mostly just posts to your Hutto Fitness Center page, or are you like getting up inside local Facebook groups and making posts? Like, are you doing paid ads? Like what are the things that have been most effective for you on Facebook?
All above. But I would say, mostly those Facebook groups. There's just thousands and thousands and thousands of people to reach out to on those things. And so if you put one post saying like, hey, we're offering a deal or what was the last holiday that came up?
St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day. I don't know.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. And so a lot of people like deals, man. And so if you're reaching out to thousands of people on these Facebook groups, you can't get everybody from word of mouth, right? But you can get a lot of people from Facebook. So I think most of our marketing and advertising is coming from Facebook. I have done some paid ads before. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. So it's just hit or miss on that.
Yeah, that's kind of typical feedback that we get, especially as far as the paid ads. It's Facebook's always changing, algorithms, targeting, keywords that work, things that are banned, at times when Facebook will take your money and it seems like they're actually not showing the ads to anybody. It can definitely be a black hole. If you're not right on top of every single change they make every time they do it, which seems like about three times a day.
Right. And I tell you what, man, I'd say the most engagement I've gotten was a progress photo from one of my clients. That's huge. That's huge. If you show somebody that you can give them results, you'll get a lot of engagement and you'll get a lot of people coming in your doors.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the other big part of the process that comes with getting new people in the door, is the sales process, right? Somebody comes in, they're interested, they reach out to you, however it may be, Facebook, text message, call. Chris, I'm interested. I want to get a trainer. This seems like it's going to be the thing that's going to work for me. What type of process do you bring people through?
Yeah, it's very scripted. And it's sales. That's what it is. We have to get them, as a business owner, you got to get them to buy, and then you start building relationships from there. And so, the first thing to do is get them in the doors, right? Get them into your gym, have them look around, and then start talking about their goals, right? And usually what I do is, we'll start with the consultation. It's really, hey, how are you doing? And you start asking like questions like, what do you do for work? What do you do for this? What are your goals? And then they start telling you all these things. And then, one of the lines I say is that it's a commitment and it's also an investment. And that's usually what gets them right there, is the investment part. You're like, hey, this is an investment to yourself, right? With a good return, right? If you invest in yourself, you're going to look better, you're going to feel better, you're going to move better, you're going to be able to play with your kids more. And that's usually, what gets them in the doors, or what gets them to, buy training, is that they just want to be better with their families, right? And a lot of people, again, I don't train a lot of bodybuilders. So a lot of these people are like middle age, have kids, have families. They just want to live healthier lives, or they have health conditions or something they got to work on, right? And so I guess the first part is to get them in for a consultation and really figure out their goals and then try to relate to them. And then after that, you know, they're hooked and then they start training. And then after that, it's just, you really got to, you know, show off your craft after that, you know, and you got to really tell them like, you know, this is why I do what I do. And I get people results. And so this is what I want to do for you. And that's usually how we get people to stay.
Awesome. I want to talk a little bit about the fulfillment in a minute, but one more question on your sales process. When you are initially signing somebody up, I know you said you don't like time limits. So do you have a specific way that you phrase it with people where like, hey, you know, you want to lose 50 pounds and I know you probably really want to lose it in 2 months, but you know, this is probably better off as a year-long process at minimum, or, you know, let's just, you know, is it just, let's take it as it goes. Let's just build habits and let the goal come to you. Is there a specific way that you phrase that when people have, you know, goals that are going to take a while to achieve?
I'm very honest with people, and that's just the way I am. I'm not going to try to get you to pay all this money for results that you're not going to get. And I'll be honest with you. And I tell them, this is a process. And if you're coming here to get a quick fix and then try to get it and you're going to gain it all back after, like, I'm not the guy for you. And I'll tell them I'm not the guy for you. And it's just me being realistic, right? Let's say somebody comes in here and they want to lose 50 pounds, like you said, in 2 months. I can't do that for you. That's going to be very hard. And it's, could it be possible? Maybe, but it's probably the wrong way to do it, right? And it's all about, you know, your diet and, you know, I guess extreme weight loss is 2 pounds a week, right?
Yeah, so, somewhere around there, yeah.
So if you put that in perspective, that's 50 pounds, that's 25 weeks, right? If you did everything correctly and you're on a strict diet, right? And then you are working out, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, but you're only doing 3 times a week with me. So now you just set yourself back up if you're not doing extra work outside. So again, I'm very honest with my clients and with prospects. You know, this takes a long time. And it's, and like I said, it's a commitment and it's longevity. And so I guess to answer your question, man, you know, the way I phrase it is just, I'm just brutally honest about it. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. If you want to lose this weight, you know, I'll put it back to like the calorie scale of like 1 or 2 pounds a week. This is how many weeks is going to take if you were very, very, very strict on your diet and exercise. So.
Love it. I mean, brutal honesty is, you know, it's one of those things where you're going to be ready to accept the consequences of it, which is there are some people that are going to want to be babied and coddled and want to be told everything's going to work out the way they want. Ultimately, that's going to lead to, you know, some disconnect with the integrity of the business or with your relationship with them. So if you just start off, you know, some people and probably the type of people who will eventually make the best clients are going to appreciate it, be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Like that was probably a wild thing. And unless I chop my leg off, that's probably not going to happen. So, you know, let's just do it your way. And as long as I'm seeing results and everything is good, we'll just rock with it till we get there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've had to turn people down before. And that just goes back to me saying that I don't do this for money. I do this to help people. And if it's not realistic, then I won't waste your time or money. Right. And so that's just kind of the way I view things. You know, we're going to do it the right way or we're not going to do it at all. You know, and, you know, your money is not that important to me. We got to do this the right way or else it's, you know, what's going to happen is that you're going to start starving yourself and then you're going to get burnt out and then you have no energy and then you're dragging ass in here. And it's just, you know, that's not the way I roll. You know, I want to do it the right way and the right way on. So.
Awesome. Let's dig into that right way as far as how you feel and what you're able to do as much as possible with the time we have left here. For you, you're not just a certified trainer, you also have nutrition certification. You're able to give people real support, science-based. It's not just, hey, you're going to work out. You can help them, you know, eat more sensibly, whether it's a very strict plan, whether it's something that fits their lifestyle. And then you're able to support them, check in with them, make sure that they're, you know, because you're personal training, you're seeing people on a regular basis. So, you know, we always say that, you know, the three big pillars, whatever you want to call them, are going to be training, nutrition, and support or accountability. And it sounds like you're able and willing to deliver all three to people that are in your programs. Do you find that that's what most people want and need and a big differentiator for you versus what you see in other gyms?
Right. I do. I think it's a big advantage to have some sense of nutrition, because that's 80% of it, you know? And I tell people it's 20% gym and 80% at home. And so that's what I tell people. And, you know, the 80% is recovery. It's, you know, sleep, it's water intake. And most importantly, your nutrition. If you ain't got your diet right, and, you know, again, I'll tell you what I tell all my clients, you don't get your diet in order, this will never, ever, ever work. You'll never see what you want to see. And so, but I do encourage a balanced diet, man. I don't want people burning themselves out because they're eating, you know, freaking the bro diet, chicken, broccoli, and rice every day. You know, have fun with it, man. It's a journey. And so, and to, on top of that, you know, I do have another certificate in corrective exercise. And that's a big thing, because it's, that certificate taught me, you know, form and, you know, mobility and stuff, and it's injury prevention, right? A lot of times people get trainers and then they end up hurting themselves. They don't know how to teach form, you know, they don't know how to teach a proper deadlift or a proper hinge or lunge or whatever it is. And so that's also another big part of my training is, you know, corrective exercise and doing things the right way.
Got it. Okay. So you've got training, you've got nutrition, accountability, you're, you know, primarily personal training. So you're able to support people very directly. Are there any other things that you are offering or want to offer as far as adding value to clients down the road, whether that be online training, meal prep services, supplement sales, anything like that that stands out to you of other areas you can kind of impact people within your four walls or help them, you know, when they're outside your four walls?
Yeah, I definitely... There's a thing called Trainerized. I'm sure you've
heard of it. Fantastic program.
I used it at my other gym, but I'm waiting to see what my taxes look like before I buy their software. That's something I want to get into, is programming and sending out to people. You know, we all know that, you know, personal training is very expensive. And I want to offer something that's, you know, something very detailed, from warm-ups to strength training to, you know, cardio and to cool down, right? And I want to program those things. And it's like you have a trainer on your phone, right? You have me on your phone. And that's something I want to offer, is I want to get into that Trainerized and online training type deal. You know, the other day I tried to do a virtual training with one of my clients since he was out of town. And, you know, I found out that is something I can't do. It's very weird thing to, because I like to be physical with people, and I like to touch them and, you know, point, like, and move them around a little bit in virtual training. And that's, you know, I can't touch them. I can't interact with them. But, you know, then again, it's all about cues and stuff like that. So, eventually I do want to be big enough to where I offer memberships to people, where they can come in at their own time. And then you know, we've had talks about group classes at a park or something, or something in the community where it's like a drop-in fee or something like that. But then again, these are all just ideas right now. We're kind of in this like waiting period right now to see like what my taxes look like, what can I get, you know, after that, and, you know, equipment and stuff like that. So to answer your question, man, programming, selling programs online is something I want to do. You know, group training in the park, maybe like a, somebody was trying to offer me their little trailer gym where they have this trailer and then they have all this equipment in there. Maybe we can pull up at a parking lot somewhere or something.
I've seen things like that. Interesting concept.
It's such an interesting concept, but, I mean, there might be a reason why he was selling, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's at least sounds like a tough thing to do as a standalone, but maybe as an add-on, it might have some value there. So lots of things in the works, big plans, you know, lots of bright future along the way for HFC for sure. So as we start to run out of time here, Chris, last big question for you is going to be, you know, you've been operating on your own here, open, functional for 7+ months. You have tons of things that you want to do, but in your time you've been open, has there been any big standout lesson, any light bulb moment, anything that, you know, if you could have known it earlier that, you know, you wish you would, something that you could share that's, you know, made a big difference for you in the time you've been open?
It's a good question.
There's a million when you're brand new, but
yeah,
you know, no. Whatever comes to mind, just always interesting to see what that sparks up.
I'd say, man, if especially if you want to grow, you got to have a good team. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have met the people that I've met. They are great trainers. They're great supporters. They want to see you win. I want to see them win. And, you know, my trainers right now are unbelievable, man. They're go-getters. And I guess the big light bulb is that, you know, I couldn't do this by myself. You know, there was a time where I didn't have any trainers and I was doing this solo, you know, and I was working from 5 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night on some days, you know, and it's just the way it is, man. It's just, you know, you grind now so you can live a better life later. And so, but one thing that keeps me going is my clients and my trainers, because I have a great team and I have a lot of supporters, man. And I have people that support me and they want to see me succeed. So I guess the light bulb moment was that I needed support and I needed people around me who were going to help me grow this gym. And my, you know, my advice to other people is go find a good team. You know, go find a good team of trainers, the people that have, that are like-minded and they want to succeed. They're driven. You know, my trainers, they're go-getters, man. It's crazy. And I definitely appreciate every single one of them. So light bulb moment, go get a good team.
Yes, sir. Good team, good support system. Hugely undervalued, I think, sometimes going in, but I'm glad that you have that in place so quickly, and I hope that that team and that support system continues to grow. So we are just about officially out of time. Last real question before I let you go. Where can people find you online? Website, social media? Tell us all the places they can find Hutto Fitness Center.
Yep. So website is huttofitnesscenter.com. You know, if you're looking for training, if you're watching, you're from the Austin area and you're looking for training, go in there and sign up for a free consultation. You can follow us on Instagram, Hutto Fitness Center. And then on my personal Instagram, C_Metter22, I'll post workouts and different kind of videos, you know, teaching form. And go follow us on Facebook, get into our Facebook group at Hutto Fitness Center. And yep, I don't have a YouTube yet, but I plan on it
someday.
Maybe a little TikTok something. I don't know.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you being on. It's been a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And to everyone out there listening, as always, we appreciate you. We wouldn't be here without you. We hope you found value and inspiration in hearing Chris's story today. If you want to hear more stories like his, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when they drop. To everyone out there, Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard. Keep changing lives. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show, Mr. Brian Lupien of Vent Fitness out of the Albany, New York area. Brian, what is going on, my man? How are you today?
Hey, Joe and listeners. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to talking shop.
I am excited to talk shop, with you as well. This is a little bit of an interesting business model, and I'm excited to dive in and kind of explore it with you. Now, Vent Fitness, you guys have 4 different locations. Brian, give us an idea of kind of how you came to be involved with this and why.
Well, my background I've been playing sports and an athlete all my life, and I had a passion for fitness from being a little kid. And I went away to college, and then I joined the military. And in the military, I was part of the Pacific Northwest's efforts to get people in their departments fit and pass their physical readiness tests. So I got certified through the Cooper Institute at that point, and that was when I started really personal training and helping people accomplish their fitness goals. And then when I got out of the military, I was working for a computer company and doing sales, and I wasn't really passionate about it, and there was a lot of travel involved. So I decided to go back to my hometown, and my fiance and I, we've got a little apartment out here, and I was like, you know what, let me do something I'm passionate about. I went to a local Gold's Gym that I knew about, because it's in an area that I grew up in, and that was back in 2002, I think, and I started as a personal trainer. And then after about 7 months, maybe less, I became a gym manager. And then from there, I moved into a regional manager role. I've always been passionate about managing, and I've always been passionate about fitness. So it seemed like the position was perfect for me. And 20 years later, here I am still grinding it out.
Climbing the ranks along the way. And so Vent has really provided the platform for you to grow. And I'm sure in those 20 years, you've learned a bit about business. The majority of people that get into fitness do so because of what you mentioned, right? They have this passion, they have this kind of calling to help people with their health and fitness, but far more often than not, they know very little about the business side of things. Tell us about how you have been able to sort of develop your skills along the way, managerially as well as leadership and business acumen overall.
Yeah, mostly it's been trial by fire, Joe. Live and learn as I go. I don't think that anybody, I think I told you before we even started that, you tell people that you work in a gym and they assume that you work out all day, every day. The reality of it is, you probably work out less than you've ever worked out in your life once you become a gym manager. you know, we the gym business is very, very complex, especially at the level that, that we do it at Vent Fitness. You know, you're managing membership sales, you're managing personal training sales, two completely different monsters and two completely different departments. And then you've got energy bars, or we call it energy bar, but it's shake bars. You know, where it's a totally different business model. We have tanning, we have hydro massage, we have an oxygen bar, we have a rock climbing wall, we have basketball courts and swimming pools. You know, so now you're talking about birthday parties that you're managing and small group personal training to large group personal training. The complexity of this industry, I don't think is comparable to anything or much that I can think of off the top of my head. So that's one thing that I've learned immediately. You know, and the trick is just like any other business, I think, is having the right people around you to help you grow and have the same mission and the same goals and the same vision.
Yeah. The overarching theme being, of course, fitness, but products and services vastly different. And you mentioned a number of services along the way. Vent, for you guys, the big sort of meat and potatoes here are open gym membership, right? People paying a monthly membership, coming and doing their own workout as they please, as well as sort of the upsell of some sort of coaching or training, right? PT, small group training. Give us an idea of, first and foremost, how many people we serve within total, right? What is the pool that we're talking about?
Well, the pool is reduced significantly during the pandemic. I mean, pre-pandemic, we're between the four clubs, 25,000 members. Now we're a couple thousand below that, trying to grow back to that number. You know, we're seeing, give you an idea, in a month we'll probably see 80,000 check-ins in a month per club. That's down a little bit. We're probably closer to 100,000 check-ins per club pre-pandemic.
Yeah,
so it's quite a bit of people, and you're right, you're trying to navigate those people into programs and services that, one, are going to drive revenue, but two, are also going to drive engagement and, right, and keep them happy and fulfilled as far as, you know, what their fitness goals are. It's a challenge.
Yeah. Sort of a two-pronged approach here with the idea of higher ticket services. And of course, one is simple revenue, to your point. These things generate more revenue per member than our baseline membership. But two, and it goes a little bit less talked about, retention, right? If people are utilizing these extra services, the chance of them canceling their membership is far less likely the more they're in the club, the more that they're using these services. Retention is about utilization. And so we can kind of attack two different metrics at once. Give us an idea, because a lot of businesses in this sort of model, the idea is we have this greater overall membership and we're driving traffic to these other services. Give us an idea of how you guys have typically done that. How are you funneling people to personal training or semi-private or group training?
I think it starts at the point of sale, whether the person is engaging with you initially online and looking at the services that you offer on the website, or they're in the club and you're talking to them about the services and goals that they want. You know, I think that having those conversations is important, because right off the rip, I mean, we've got four different membership levels that are going to determine what services you have included in your membership. So having those conversations and identifying what your goals are, what your interests are, right off the bat is a critical part of that process. Now, the reality of it is that everybody is going to benefit from our highest tier membership, which includes some larger group personal training experiences and all the services and amenities that we offer. You're going to be more likely to accomplish your fitness goals if you buy that membership. But it's showing people what the value is, so that they can compare that to the financial allocation in their life. And most people coming in and joining the gyms are brand new to fitness. You know, this might be the first gym membership that they've ever purchased. So they don't know what small group or large group training, or guys start talking about our ride studio and, you know, their eyes glass over. They don't, what's a ride studio? What's a ride class? So now you gotta get into that detail. I mean, think about all the services that I mentioned, including, you know, hydro massage and group exercise.
And I'm sure it even goes further than that. Yeah.
And there's, you know, how many different classes do we have on the schedule? So many, you know, I could sit down and talk to somebody about the gym for an hour and still leave stuff out. So finding the opportunity, we're really focusing on what the goals and interests are of the individual and then gearing the conversation towards that to get them at least started in the right direction. And then we'll have automated emails that are sent out, text messages, introducing them to other programs and services and amenities that we offer to keep them engaged and considering trying new things while they're here in their membership.
Yeah. And so where does that conversation take place? Is that right at point of sale with a new membership?
You try to have as much of that conversation as possible. That's just getting them started on the right track. You know, you don't want that conversation to be an hour long conversation. You know, right. You want to focus on, okay, we're going to get you started on this membership. And then if you get started on our basic membership, then we'll have a drip campaign and we'll have our team reaching out to you to make sure that you're happy, make sure that you're engaging, make sure that everything is going the way that you want it to go. And then at that point, we'll say, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And then we'll try to put them into different other programs to get them to upgrade their memberships.
Yeah. And in this sort of model, typical benchmark sort of industry standard is around 10% for that higher level utilization. Where do you get, is that a metric that you guys track of how many of your members are participating in some sort of higher level service?
Yeah, we're at 12 to 15%.
Okay, so above average. So you must be doing something right in those conversations.
Yeah, but, and that's 12 to 15% that are in our highest level membership.
Yeah,
That's, you know, we have our basic membership, but then our fitness membership, which is our single level up out of the four, includes group exercise. So we have, I think, over 50% of our members are in a membership other than the basic membership.
Okay, good. So that's tremendously a strong point for you, but to your point as well, room for improvement, right? We still could go beyond where we are. Take us kind of a step backwards in the process and talk to us about the marketing done to get people in the doors to even begin with. How do you guys typically generate leads to get to that new member conversation in the first place?
Well, you know, we've, after reopening after the pandemic, you know, we had to do a deep dive into where we were spending our money. You know, what's our payroll number? What's our allocation for marketing? And we took a significant reduction in our marketing acquisition numbers. And we were doing traditional, you know, radio, TV. We've dabbled in direct mail. We've tried it all. And after reopening from the pandemic, we've gone strictly digital. Facebook ads, Google ads. We've re-implemented videos onto our YouTube page to create some engagement there when people are jumping around on YouTube. We're spending a fraction of what we used to spend.
Right. And with a much more measurable outcome as well, I'm sure.
Definitely. Yeah. You know exactly what your cost per lead is and what your cost per member is.
Right.
We've seen that not impact our new membership sales numbers at all, which is the biggest silver lining to that process.
Yeah.
You know, we can spend less money and get the same number of new members coming in, which means right. Now we can invest in, you know, purchasing some more equipment these next few months. We're rehabbing some of the facilities. We're able to reinvest that money back into the membership, and 80% of our members come from member referrals. So yep. If we're able to give back to our members and spike that member referral number up, then that's a win-win for us and it's a win-win for the members.
Yeah. And so to your point, I think that's a really important conversation to have, is that you've shifted strategy entirely digital, which has allowed for a much smaller financial input with the same output on the back end. And so is that something that you guys do in-house?
Yeah.
Okay. How satisfied are you with the output of that? Is that something that you guys want to ramp up to get greater leads and greater conversions?
I mean, Joe, you know, the name of the game is membership sales, right? I mean, right. We need to increase membership revenue. And if there's anything that we can do to even sell 10 more members a month, you know, that's a positive thing. We're always evaluating what we're doing, what our spend is, what our cost per acquisition is. And we're always, you know, pivoting. We're not the kind of company that's going to sit down and say, this is just how we do it. And we'll always do it that way. We're always reevaluating what we're doing and try to figure out better ways to get it done. The problem, you know, you had mentioned retention earlier in our conversation. The problem is the unknowns that affect the business, like, yeah, you know, a New York State mask mandate, right, that, you know, is not something that you even get warning about. You know, we were told on a Friday that, you know, on Monday or there was going to be a mask mandate again.
Yep.
And that significantly impacts our industry and us, as it's going to impact how many people are going to use the facility. It's going to impact if someone's going to decide to get off the couch and start their membership today or tomorrow. It's going to impact if our personal trainers are going to be able to maintain their client base and pay their rent. I mean, yep, it impacts every aspect of our business. And that's been the hardest part of this process.
Yeah, it certainly makes for a difficult task to fill a bucket when there's holes in the bucket, right? And so retention is got to be a part of this conversation. And so let's kind of take a step back and 30,000 foot view this. Where are you planning on focusing the majority of your time? Is it greater leads at the top of the funnel? Is it improving conversion somewhere in the middle? Or is it stabilizing retention down at the bottom?
100% it's stabilizing retention. It's getting the people that aren't using the club yet back into the club,
reactivated,
yeah, that are in the club to come into the club more. You know, we talked about all the different profit centers and different services that we offer. You know, if I'm down, say, 20% in check-ins, then that's going to significantly impact my personal training numbers, my energy bar sales, my bottled beverage sales, and yep, every other ancillary aspect of the business. So I need to get those members back into the club, using the club and seeing results, so that they go out and tell people about Vent Fitness and how we're helping them accomplish their fitness goals and impacting that retention number. I mean, if you're not using the club, you're not telling people to come and use the club. So right, if 80% of my members are coming from member referrals, that's going to significantly impact the referral number coming in.
Yep. And so, Brian, let me ask you this. Obviously, you and I don't have to say that you and I don't have control over mask mandates or the political climate or the pandemic in general. What can you control internally to move the needle on some of those metrics that we talked about?
You know, I think that we've been kind of reevaluating how we do business. And I think that as an industry, we really focus on the front end on how do we get more members coming in? How do we get more leads? How do we sell more memberships? And we kind of leave it up to the programming to engage the member, to have them stay longer. And I think that now we're kind of revisiting that, especially with the reduction in personal training, and we have significantly less personal trainers on staff than we have. It's just a tough part of the business to rebuild after a pandemic, especially with the unknowns. So we are focusing on trying to get personal trainers back into the clubs, focusing on getting them busy so that they can do the thing that they love and help us start building a personal training business. So we're about reevaluating how we do our fitness assessments. We're reevaluating the follow-up process of the fitness assessment. We're reevaluating how we track baseline information. What baseline information are we going to collect from a member? And how are we going to track that over the life of their membership and keep that member engaged? Are we going to do a 60-day follow-up for every single one of our members to do a reassessment, to show them the progress and give them the feedback and point them in the right direction? Even if it's just saying, listen, Joe, you know, I know what your goals are. Let's get you, I understand you don't want to do personal training, but let's get you into a body pump class at 2:00 on Tuesday. And let's get you into into the pool to do some laps on Thursdays. So now Joe's engaged on at least those 2 days. And then when we do a reassessment and a refollow up, I can add more so that you're growing, you're getting better, you're getting closer to accomplishing your fitness goals. I think that that's something that's been kind of not dialed into as directly as it could be over the years. So we're revamping that and really focusing on our members accomplishing their goals so they stay longer. That's why they're joining. You join the gym to see goals, not just to take classes.
Yeah, we want to see progress more than anything. And so for you guys, I really appreciate the mentality that we're collecting this data. We're making sure that we have the information available to us, but also taking that next step and using the data to actually drive decisions. Right. If we just have all of this check-in information, all of this membership metric, but just sit back and watch it and hope and pray that it goes up, it's not going to go up. And so you guys, the focus is, how can we use that information? How can we drive utilization in the club, whether it's simply checking in, whether it's making sure they get to a group class, whether it's meeting with a trainer, making sure that people are using the service that we peddle ourselves as, because that's what's going to keep them around, right? Yeah.
And what's also important is knowing who that customer is, because since before the pandemic, that new member coming through the door has changed. You know, that new member walking through the door, we might be selling the same number of memberships we're selling each month, but you know, our average new membership age has dropped from like 36 to 29.
Right.
You know, we've gone
totally different avatar. Yeah.
Totally different. And, you know, male, female demographic, you know, we're more male coming through the door now. So it's a different person walking through the door. So how do you engage that person? And it's different than that person that was walking through the door on average, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's,
And you market differently to those people too, Joe.
Right.
So I think that's why our digital ads campaigns are working well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that if there was an opportunity to reevaluate the marketing process, you know, knowing who the member is that's coming in and knowing the changes you made on your advertising and marketing strategies, how is that affecting that? So if we wanted to get more people in, I think, you know, then you can start dialing in on, okay, I need to do a little bit of traditional marketing to get the other demographic into the club. Or is it just mask mandates, man? Is that what's keeping it? You know, so not knowing, but
some combination of all of the above.
At least you have some numbers to look at and try to make the right decision.
Yeah. I think if I were to summarize this in one simple statement, it's know what you sell, know who's looking to buy it, and how to get in front of those people.
Yeah.
Right. It's a much more complicated scenario than that, but we've got to know those things first and foremost before we can do anything else. Brian, that's probably a pretty good place to start to wrap this whole thing up, but where can people find out a little bit more about Vent?
Ventfitness.com, and follow us on social media. We're all over the place on there. We're trying to help people accomplish their fitness goals We're grinding it out every day, trying to recover from the pandemic and trying to rebuild our business.
Perfect. Well, man, it's been awesome to get your insight and see what you guys are focusing on and controlling the controllables, if you will. I really appreciate your contribution here, and I want to see you guys succeed. I wish you nothing but the best.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Awesome. So to everyone who tuned in, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's 4 ways we can help you grow your gym for free. 1, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. 2, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. 3, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. 4, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.